Do you want anything from God this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, what that means is that if we seek and ask, he can give. What I want us to do this morning, I just want to drop some thoughts into your heart, into your spirit, so you could go away and think about them, maybe challenge some of your thinking. Oh no, here he goes again. Because that's how God breaks into our lives sometimes. He has to challenge the way we think. Because usually we think we've got it right, and he needs to remind us that he's the one that's got the solution. He's the one that's made the plans and purposes for our lives. He's the one that will work it out, and he will bring all that we need to be able to do that. See, some of the thoughts that I've been having just as we've been worshipping is that, you know what? God wants to be here more than we want him to be here. God is so, loves us so much. He wants to be amongst his people. He wants to be doing in our hearts the things that he's promised in his word. And sometimes we think we've got to plead with him to get him here. Well, we don't. You know, as we worship him, he just joins in the party and he just begins to minister to our lives. He begins to challenge us. He begins to encourage us. He begins to heal us. He begins to be God amongst us. And so this morning, he's here and he wants to do in our lives some amazing things. Are you ready for that? Because this is a moment that we may never ever get again. This may be the moment that God wants to speak to you. He wants to break into your life. He wants to do something, and we can miss it because we're not in the moment. So if I see anybody going to sleep, I'm going to throw something at them. You know, I know teachers used to do that, didn't they, many years ago. You get something thrown at you if you weren't concentrating. Have I got your permission to do that? No, I'm not sure about that. I'm quite a good shot as well. I can usually hit what I'm throwing at them. But we're in a moment. My brother Steve, who's also a minister, goes to Mozambique, and in the afternoon session they put a water pistol on the lectern. And anybody who goes to sleep, they get a quick, that might be a better way of doing it. Because if I hit somebody with that, I might damage him. We've sang that you came to save the world. Jesus, you came to save the world. What does that mean? Does the world need saving? Yeah, I think it does. We understand that sin is abounding in our world. And not just sin as in doing things wrong, but sin breaks down everything that is good. It just breaks. It breaks relationships, it breaks businesses, it breaks families. Sin is a mighty force in this world, and Jesus came to save us from the power that sin is influencing over this world. And this world does need saving, spiritually and physically. We are destroying everything that God has given to us. He came to save the world. Your love can change the world, and his love changes the world by us, because we demonstrate his love. We bring his values into this world. We bring his truth into this world. We bring his hope into this world. We bring his transformation into this world by the way that we live, because we are becoming more like Jesus as we journey with him. And so we are changing the world. It's our job. It's not the politician's job, because they've got no idea what to do, have they? They're really struggling at the moment in this country with politicians who don't know what they want. They don't know where they're taking us. But Jesus came to save us, and he's going to change the world through us. What a great thought that is. Don't miss the moment this morning. On Tuesday, we were talking at the Moore Group about the sword of the Spirit. And one of the examples I used was that Peter walked on water. The word of Jesus to Peter was, come. That moment. What did Peter do? He responded. He moved towards Jesus and walked on the water. That never happened again. And he could have missed the moment because he was frightened. He wasn't sure, but he put his trust in Jesus to do what he said. And sometimes we've got to do that. We don't work out how it's going to happen, how he's going to do it. We just trust him to do it. And that's really important for us. That's the faith journey that we have, that we don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I'm going to trust you. And maybe this morning you'll have a moment where you put your trust in God. I want to read from 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. And every time I read this, I spend a considerable amount of time just meditating on it and thinking about it, because it's a really powerful verse. For our gospel did not come unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So I want to talk about the gospel in word, in the Holy Spirit, in power, and in assurance. Because God is not just about words. Words are great, words convey a message, but God is about more than that. I've got a certificate here that tells me that I've been trained in essential first aid for all ages. And if you collapse in front of me, I've got an idea what to do. Okay. I've got an idea that I might. But what might happen is you collapse and I go, I don't know what to do. I've had the training, but I can't quite remember what to do. I'm not sure. And that reticence and that fear can stop me doing anything. And so I just leave you. In case I get it wrong or do it wrong. In case I carry out some illegal procedure or whatever. We sometimes can step back and go, oh, I'm not going to do that. And this is how it can be with God. We have the word. We've got his word, we've got the word of God. But sometimes we don't step into the reality of that because we don't want to get it wrong, or we're not quite sure, or somebody else can do that. They do it better than I do. And so what we're trying to convey this morning through the word is that it's about more than that. And God supplies what we need to be able to do the things that we're going to talk about this morning. So the gospel, it says the gospel came. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation for the world. This message can change the world because it brings hope, love, forgiveness, it brings healing, it brings completeness, provision, freedom, peace and joy. This word is an amazing word and it brings so much with it. This is the spoken word. Paul was speaking about the greatness of God. He was bearing witness to what God had done in his life. And unless it's spoken, nobody hears it. So that's what we're doing this morning. We are speaking the word. So you are listening to words. When words communicate, they're communicating something of what God has laid on my heart to just pass on to you. Hearing the word of God creates faith. It tells us that in Romans. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so the words of Christ are really important. That is the Bible, because they convey the very heart of God to us. And so what we have to do is listen to the word. Listen to the word. Hear it. And then the Holy Spirit begins to do something with it. He begins to put something into our heart. He takes his words and he brings cutting-edge truth and revelation to our hearts. That's where the challenge comes from, hearing the word of God. Because if it was just words, it would carry no weight. There is no challenge in it whatsoever. But when the Holy Spirit gets hold of the word of God, he begins to do something in our spirit. He begins to open up truth to us, to reveal our heart to ourselves. He begins to talk directly to us. I don't know about you, but if you can think back to that moment when you stepped over the threshold from being an unbeliever to being a believer, there had to be a moment where you heard the word of God and it spoke into your heart. That's how we're born again. That's our starting point in this journey. If we never hear it, we will never know. And so words are important, but the Holy Spirit takes hold of these words and he begins to do something in our heart. He begins to do something in our thinking. He begins to explore the impossibilities in our lives and go, it's possible. It's possible. Faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. It's possible. Those things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Let's not limit God in our lives, because that's humanity. That's our own thinking. And so this morning, maybe your challenge is that I've got to think bigger. I've got to think bigger than what I think I can do, and allow the Holy Spirit to expand what actually God wants to do in each of our lives. He said, we didn't come to you with words only, but also in power. And I don't know what that means to you, those that have been on the journey for a long time. So words are great. It allows the Holy Spirit to do something in us. But these words came with power. We know that God is all powerful. By his word, he created everything, the universe. It all began with God. But when God spoke, it was more than words. There was a power behind the voice of God. He had an authority that brought into being things that had never existed before. By his words, the universe was created. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God, power to overcome all the constraints of sin, both in the physical and in the spiritual world. It's what Jesus did. He overcame. He overcame the power of sin that seeks to destroy. He defeated it. And because he defeated it through his death and his resurrection, that power is available to all those who believe. The power of God, he just wants to break into our lives. He wants to break into our presence. And he wants to do more than we can imagine or think. That's what he wants to do. This morning, maybe it's a moment where you allow the Holy Spirit just to bring something true from that. We have a number of sayings that describe the relationship between words and action. You might have some of your own. Here we go. So this is what, I suppose, but I don't know if the girls do this, but this is what boys do. Put your money where your mouth is. Have you ever said that? Put your money where your mouth is. You're telling me that? Come on, let's see something happen. Put your money where your mouth is, or show me what you've got. You're boasting about something with words? Well, show me. Show me what you've got, or prove it. You're claiming this? Then prove it to me. And here Paul is evidence to the Thessalonian church that God is more than just mere words, more than just a mere study in who he is, but a demonstration of the power of God that would have been evident to everybody who was there. He was proving that God was more than just a God, more than just a God that many people worship. Other gods, don't they? But Paul was saying, our God is not just about words, but it's about power. Remember when Elijah called down fire from heaven and all the prophets of Baal were dancing away and trying to invoke something from their God, and Elijah just said, come on God, do it. Bang. And he did. More than words, but power. And the Holy Spirit, when he's amongst us, brings with him power, the power of the living God. John 1:12-13. But as many as he received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are born again and receive the power to become his sons. God is giving us his power when we come to salvation. Not something that we can will in our mind, in the flesh, or the will of man, but it's from God. Salvation is a powerful experience. He wants to share his power with us. And one of our core values, if you like, one of the things we're always aiming at is to see God evidenced amongst us by his power. We want to see a demonstration of who he is when we get together. We don't just want to sing words and pray prayers without anything happening. We believe absolutely in the power of our risen Saviour, and we want to experience it daily. It's just what he wants us to do. Let's not get used to nothing happening. Let's not be satisfied with what we've got. But let's expect the power of God to be demonstrated when we meet together. So his word was not words only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is present, something happens. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit would have revealed the nature of God to those in the gatherings. And when we are in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit begins to work, it opens our spirit to the full nature of who God is. So when there is a presence of the Holy Spirit, our spirit responds to that. And we begin to understand his holiness, his purity, his blamelessness, his sacred. We begin to get a sense of his love towards us, the worthiness of our praise, his power, his presence, his truth. Where the Holy Spirit is, says the Lord dwells, and we are almost in awe. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is a reaction from our hearts. We begin to recognize the awesomeness of the presence of God. 2 Chronicles 7 says this, and I love this. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The presence of God filled the temple. So that the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. His awesomeness was so powerful, they just stood back. They couldn't go in. When all the Israelites saw the power coming, the fire coming down, and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to God, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. When we are in the Holy Spirit, he brings a recognition of who God is. Where the Holy Spirit lives, there is liberty from sin and anything that binds our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're in bondage this morning to anything, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Holy Spirit lives, there is freedom. We have a right to be free because the Spirit of the Lord is here and lives in us. And when we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the glory of God, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. He changes us as we're in his presence. He begins to change us to be more like him. That's how the world's going to be saved, when people see that we are more like him, when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is living within us. But he brings freedom. He brings unity. 1 Corinthians 12. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. We were all saved by the same Spirit. We are all in the same Spirit. and by one Spirit so to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. There is unity in when the Holy Spirit is amongst us. He brings a sense of unity. Because when we are filled and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, those things that we sometimes find quite difficult about each other, they're just washed away because the Holy Spirit is in our presence, and we can put those to one side. He brings freedom from all of those thoughts. Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then He, that is Jesus, rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, when we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have a love for the calling of God on our lives. Today, this is fulfilled in your sight. And when we live in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have got the same mission that Jesus had. And He loved His mission. He loved doing the things that His Father asked Him to do. And that same ministry, that same mission is on our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and He lives within us and we will live within Him, then we too carry this same anointing on our lives. That's how the world's going to be changed. It's how the love of God will be spread through this world. It's how you and I have been transformed by hearing the word, experiencing the power of God in our lives to become sons of God, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He begins to encourage us and change us. He says it also came in much assurance. Do you like to be assured? It's part of our nature. We want to be assured. One of the needs of any child is the assurance from their parents that they are loved, that they are cared for, that all their need are going to be met, all their needs are looked after. It's one of the basic drives of our lives to be living that assurance of the love of our parents. These needs, even when we grow up, we still have them. We want to be assured of love. We want to be in relationships where we are loved. When we meet with the Holy Spirit, He brings with us all the assurance of our Father in heaven. It says this in Romans 8. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And as believers, sometimes we can live outside of that assurance. For whatever, there are many reasons why we can feel separated from God. But when the Holy Spirit is present, He testifies, He joins with our spirit and reveals to us that we are His children. Maybe this morning you need to be reminded that you are a child of God. Maybe something's gone wrong somewhere, and the assurance that you once had has kind of dissipated and you're hanging in there by your teeth. The Holy Spirit is here and He can bring that assurance. Many of us know the story of the young man who went to his dad and said, "Well, I think I've done everything now. Can I leave? Can you give me all the money that is mine, my inheritance, and I'm going to go away now and it'll be goodbye." And he went away and he lost all his money. He wasted his life. He lived in degradation and massive need. And in that need, he says he came to his senses. And I think we all need to live in that place where sometimes we need to come to our senses in our relationship with God. And very often we go through pain because what God is trying to do is get our attention. He wants to assure us. He wants to bring assurance to our hearts that we are still His. This young man came to his senses and he said, I'm going to go home. And even if I'm going to be a servant in my father's household, at least I'll be warm, I'll be fed, I'll have a purpose in life, I'll be part of a community, I'll be accepted. But when he was walking towards his home, his father saw him and he ran to him and he loved him. He gave him reassurance that he was still his father and he was his son. And maybe you need to experience that again this morning, that God actually is running to you. The moment you turn round, you come to your senses and walk to him, he will run to you and put his arms around you and remind you that you are loved and that you are a son or a daughter of the living God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he brings assurance that we are God's children. When we gather together, we worship God, and he wants to be amongst us. He wants to impart something supernatural to our hearts. He wants to do something with us. I think we all understand that. Anybody that's been coming to church or this church for any period of time will know the plans and purposes that God has got for us. They will know that he wants to set us free. He wants to deal with the difficult things in our hearts. He wants to do all those things. That is his heart towards you. He wants to impart something to us that is going to bring something towards our need, going to answer our need. We hear the words. We experience the presence of God. We expect demonstrations of his power. And to me, that just means miracles. When we gather together, if we believe what the word tells us, that there is power in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we can expect miracles. That's what the word says. But it's not quite 21st century sometimes. But let's believe that God will bring miracles. We can expect to know him more intimately. When the presence of God is amongst us by his Holy Spirit, he just reminds us how he loves us. And many of the songs that we've sang this morning are around that. Our worship is always focusing us on God. Let's not limit God just to word. It's not what he wants. Words are important, they convey a message. But in our hearts, let's expect a demonstration of the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit has got a role amongst us. He's our comforter. He's the revealer of truth to our heart. He convicts us when we get it wrong. He reminds us about the truth that we're living in. He brings the heart of the Father into our heart. Let's not miss the moment as we just continue with our service. We're going to pray for people. If you want prayer, maybe now's the time that God is going to demonstrate his power. Thank you, Sue.